I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors bounce back from their very disappointing loss to the Boston Celtics on Friday with a 108-84 victory over the Chicago Bulls. It was, look, man, I'm not going to get too excited over beating the Bulls. Like, the Bulls are not that good, despite the fact that Jim Boylan looks like a boiled egg. He tries really hard. He wants his team to try really hard, but the talent there, I just don't know if it's ready yet. There is some talent there, but for the most part, the Raptors should be expected absolutely to beat up on teams like the Bulls. And that's exactly what they did. Second half of back-to-back for both teams. Didn't matter, honestly. The Raptors, you couldn't tell that there was a second half of back-to-back because their energy was so high in this game. I mean, they held Chicago to 30.2% shooting from the field overall. Just take that in. 30% shooting from the field. They completely bossed them on that end. And the Raptors as a whole played a very team-oriented offense. The last couple of games before this, obviously, was skewed a lot more towards Pascal. And obviously, Pascal got a lot of touches today, but the scoring was much more balanced. You got 19 points from Pascal. You got 17 from OG. He was fantastic. We're going to talk about him for sure. Kyle gave you 11. Van Vliet gave 16. Serge came off the bench with 18. So you got five players right there that scored in double digits. And the Raptors as a whole recorded 27 assists and played a team game. Again, beating the Bulls is not that impressive, but I do think that the mark of a good team is that they're able to respond after tough losses. And obviously the loss to Boston, even though it's understandable, whatever, obviously a lot of mistakes, they shot themselves in the foot, whatever, but it's still a frustrating loss. Like, the Raptors had a 7-point advantage in the fourth quarter and it sort of, blew up in their face. So the Raptors came to Chicago and they took care of business. It was nice to see. So obviously the number one guy that I want to focus on today is OG Anunoby, who, he's never going to put up a lot of box score numbers. And so I think this is almost as good as it gets for OG, who had 17 points, like I mentioned earlier, and 7-11 shooting, 3-6 from the field, from the three-point arc. He also had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 4 blocks. I honestly think this is probably OG's best game as a professional. There's other ones up there. Like, obviously, one of his first impressions as a Raptor was him guarding James Harden and really, really holding Harden to a really tough game. I think Harden had 10+ turnovers in that game, and he definitely shot about 40% or less from the field. And that was definitely a breakout performance for OG back in 2017. And of course, OG is a rookie. He had that 18-point game, including the game tying three pointer before LeBron, you know, ran down the floor and threw down that. I mean, I don't even want to revisit it, but game three against the Cavs, OG had a really nice game. There's a couple of moments where OG has shown his sort of quality, but I thought today, in terms of his impact on both ends of the floor, legitimately excellent. Excellent, excellent play from OG on both ends. And we'll start with the offense, obviously. 17 points on 7-11 shooting with a 3 of 6 from the deep. I mean, you know, we know that his three-point shooting has improved. It just looks a lot better. I think before with OG, it was always a lot of moving parts in the shot. And, you know, the trajectory was not necessarily consistent. I think, honestly, when you look at OG's shot now, it's definitely more compact. It's not as compact as you would necessarily like, but it's definitely more compact than what it was before. He gets it off a little bit quicker. And the trajectory looks the same most times. Like, if he misses, he's not missing by a ton. So, you know, I think that end of the floor, the three-point shooting is big because obviously the Raptors, they're going to need a lot of their offense from the three-point arc, and OG's going to have a lot of opportunities to be spacing the floor. He's realistically, if you had to pick between the five guys in the starting lineup, who you're going to help off of, OG is probably the guy that defenses are most comfortable leaving alone. And so it's really important for him in particular to knock those down. And so far in the season, OG has been really good from the three-point line. The other thing OG has done really well is fill in and play offense around the other guys. Like, it's basically once a game now, Pascal will be posting up somewhere, and then he'll find OG cutting in the lane, going in for a dunk. And, you know, OG, he's always been a very smart cutter. He's especially good working the baseline because he's able to get in behind the defense. He's pretty crafty down there, too. He always basically goes for that reverse dunk with two hands. Definitely a powerful finisher down low. That was something that really stood out as a rookie as well. He shot about 70% from the restricted area, which is really, really good, especially for a rookie. And it's not surprising, too, because, like, he's strong, he's powerful, he's very athletic. And, yeah, he should be a good finisher. He is a good finisher. And so far, in terms of off cuts and stuff like that, OG had a number of dunks tonight and the three-pointers. It's basically the perfect offensive game that you would want out of OG right now because, obviously, he doesn't have too many other parts of his offense at the moment. But for him to give you 17 points as sort of a role player, that's excellent, especially in 26 minutes. And then defensively, man, OG. So first quarter, Thaddeus Young drives in the middle of down the floor, I think in the semi-transition sort of scenario. And he goes up, and he thinks he has a wide-open dunk. All of a sudden, OG pops up, meets Thaddeus Young at the rim, and literally sits him down along with the ball. It was a very, very impressive block. And there's some history there, too, because OG actually used to play on Thaddeus Young's AAU team in Tennessee. It actually, funny enough, Terrence Davis also played on that same AAU team that's run by Thaddeus Young. So there's definitely a history there. And OG actually joked before the game to some reporters that were there in Chicago that, you know, he's not going to talk trash to Thaddeus. He's going to keep it professional. But, I mean, like, man, when you block him like that and it's all over the highlight reel, you got to say something. I just think you got to say something. You deserve it, honestly. It was a spectacular block. But then he had like three more, and a lot of them were really good. And I think what really this really highlights is the fact that a couple times this season, OG has really shown a good aptitude and a really good sense and awareness for when to send help along the baseline and at the rim and as a help defender. I mean, we know OG's defense as a man-to-man defender is really good. He's quick. He's on his feet. He's strong. He's long. He's willing. He can switch. You know, he's quick. All these things are good. And we know he's a good man-to-man defender. But if your role is to be a defensive specialist, there is an expectation for you to also be a good team defender. And I think OG this season, every single game, all three games, he's made plays, whether that's taking charges or blocking people at the rim. You know, OG has been really impressive. And I'm really happy for OG, too. I mean, I think everyone should be rooting for OG anyway. I mean, we're all Raptor fans. Like, obviously, we want all the Raptors to succeed. But, I mean, well, except for campaign. I mean, that was never going to happen. But, like, yeah, you know, everyone wants OG to succeed. But, I mean, in particular, like, he has such a difficult year last season. You know, you don't have to rehash everything that went on. But I just think for OG right now, he's in a much better place, both mentally and physically. He's playing well. He's really meeting his expectation. And with more nights like this, it just reminds you again. I said it when the Raptors played the Bulls actually in preseason when the Raptors actually lost by basically a very similar score. after the return from Japan, and they didn't put any of the rotation players, minus OG. But, you know, it's, OG will still remind you of, like, why there's so much promise and potential, and people have so much hype around OG. It's not necessarily that he's going to take this leap and become this, like, you know, primetime wing scorer. But, like, he's very good. He's very, very good for a 22-year-old to give you this type of production. You know, he's obviously already a starting caliber player. And yeah, I mean, like, I'm just happy every time OG plays well. Out of all the guys on the team, I'm rooting the most for OG at the moment. So I thought that was great. I thought, you know, well, actually, you know, every game I'm looking at Pascal Siakam, I'm always wondering, like, how he's going to develop, how he's going to improve. So we'll start with the negative and we'll go with the positives. Negative for Pascal so far is that, well, two things, really. One, it's the fouls, man. I mean, first game, he fouls out against the Pelicans, whatever, two bullshit calls at the end, but still, you can't be in a position to foul out when you are the leading man like that. And then, yesterday against the Celtics, he picks up two quick fouls in the first quarter, he has to sit. And today, exact same thing, picks up two quick fouls. And with some of these things, it's tough because, like, I understand because Pascal came up in the league as, like, a defender, as a hustle guy. Really, that's what got him into the rotation for Dwayne Casey and eventually for Nick Nurse was the defense. And he's a legitimately game-changing defensive player. But, you know, when you're now expected to also score this much, like, you do have to strike a balance between how aggressive you are defensively, how many plays are challenging, and what plays are challenging. For example, the first foul that Pascal picked up today was, you know, Raptors ran some pretty bad offense. The Bulls got out in transition, and he rises up and tries to block Lauri Markkanen at the basket, and it gets called a foul. Like, yeah, sometimes you can just let him have that layup. You know what I mean? It's not like step out of the way, but, like, at the same time, you know, if it's going to be one of those bang-bang calls at the rim where the referee's going to have to call something, as a leading man, you might need to avoid some of those. I'm not saying he should be DeMar DeRozan as a leading scorer and just, like, completely ignore defense, because I think Pascal's, you know, again, he has a lot of ability, but you really do have to balance that. And Pascal today, two quick fouls. He has to go to the bench. The Raptors offense scuffles to begin with. And then when Pascal eventually comes back into the game, he really did change the game. And then the other thing is just turnovers. Like, you know, whether that's offensive fouls, which, I mean, he really just has not had a good whistle so far. They're treating him like, you know, young Amir Johnson or Jakob Poeltl, basically. Seriously, like, some of the fouls they're calling on him are not great. But yeah, I mean, four turnovers tonight. He's had four more turnovers in all three games so far. That's something that he needs to address. I think in order for him to be not at his best, I think we've already sort of seen, like, what that looks like in game one when he had, like, 34 and 18 rebounds and 5 assists. But you would like to see that assist-to-turnover ratio close to, like, 2-1, at least for him. I'm not expecting Pascal to have, like, double-digit assists or anything like that, but he can sort of make himself more efficient just by reducing the turnovers. That is a bit of an issue. You know, and it's a big transition for him. Like, he's facing a lot of double teams. He's never really been doubled like this in his life, so he really needs to figure out where the rest of the players are, figure out the timing of, okay, when I see a guy hard double me, what's my next option? What's my next pass? How do I deliver the pass? You know, he keeps making mistakes like jumping up in the air and then having nowhere to go, so that these are things that he will just, you know, cut out over time. But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, the thing is, like, Pascal, like, even though he was limited with foul trouble, he still had a really good game. Like, 19 points in 28 minutes is very, very good, with 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. Yeah, and I thought, actually, what really stood out from Pascal's game in terms of the positives today was his playmaking. Like, so the Bulls, basically, in the first half, you know, in part because Pascal was out with foul trouble and stuff like that, but the Bulls had a... they found some success by basically trapping the Raptors' guards and pick and roll. And this is sort of the Raptors have faced teams trying to trap their point guards for the longest time, like literally dating back to like 2014 with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry in the Nets series. Like, literally, teams have always known that the Raptors play a lot through their backcourt. And so, especially through Kyle Lowry, and if you neutralize Kyle Lowry, you sort of cut off the head of the snake. So the way teams usually like to do that is by blitzing the pick and roll, setting two guys up when, you know, Kyle runs a pick and roll. And whether that was Gasol or whether that was Serge, they just weren't making great plays, you know, when they caught the ball in the middle of the floor in that 4-on-3 situation. Serge, for example, had a pretty bad turnover, had a bad read. You know, it just kind of stalled the Raptors' offense a little bit. And so Nick Nurse, I think, at halftime made an adjustment where instead of using Gasol or Ibaka as the screener there, he was involving Pascal on the screen to come screen for Kyle. And that worked great. That worked really, really great because, Pascal is a much better playmaker on the roll. He makes instant decisions with the ball. Kyle obviously is a pretty good passer. He definitely knows how to beat traps with his passes. And he delivered the ball to Pascal in the middle of the floor. And whoever was stepping up to rotate, Pascal was just picking them apart, whether that was going to the corner for a shooter or even kicking out to the wing to basically have the Gretzky assist or the, you know, the secondary hockey assist of you pass to the man who passes to the assist. Like, you know, Pascal was just making great decisions and it was picking the Bulls apart. That's why the Raptors had 36 points in the third quarter. It was mostly because of Pascal's facilitating. And so that's something that, you know, you love to see. You just love to see, you know, unselfish basketball from your leading man. It's always going to be a good sign for your offense. And of course, Pascal got his offense through the rest of the stuff. Like, here's the thing with Pascal, like, he's so good now that, like, he doesn't even have to try that hard to score a lot of points. Like, he just ends up, like, a couple post-ups here, you know, transition bucket here, a cutting layup here, a couple free throws, you know, hit a three, hit some mid-range shots. The mid-range shots also was quite nice because in the 4-on-3 situation, he's wide open in the middle of the floor, so he can take that shot. He's been practicing that shot, and he hit those shots today. I would say, you know, Pascal was a positive. I also thought Marc Gasol, I was happy for him because, obviously, he had a the first two games of the season, Mark was just not having a great game. And you know what? It's not like Mark had like a huge game tonight either. Like Nick Nurse joked after the Celtics game, he's like, man, he's probably going to have 20 tonight. Well, actually, Marc Gasol had another 5 points. You know, this is just what Mark does, apparently. But it's weird because this 5-point performance from Mark is very different from his, 1-point performance against the Celtics and also his 5-point performance against the Pelicans. It's just, you know, this type of Mark performance, he was positive on both ends of the floor. He really was. And I think offensively, okay, he wasn't really scoring much. He didn't take his first shot until the second half, and he hit a three. But, you know, his playmaking was good. His screening was really good. That's something that was highlighted on the broadcast by Jack Armstrong. Like, Mark was just setting these really, really big screens for Fred and for Pascal and things like that and for Kyle. That was really able to just sort of create space for the guys to attack. So that's good. But also, you know, defensively, obviously, that's where Mark's true value lies. And I think today, for example, he was much better on the defensive glass. I think the Raptors as a whole did much better on the defensive glass. Mark led the team in rebounding with 10. Definitely made more of an effort to jump for these rebounds. He wasn't jumping real high, but I mean, like, whatever. When you're 7-1, you don't have to jump that high. He was definitely making more of an effort on the rebounding front. And also, I thought, you know, defensively down low, he did a pretty good job. You know, like Wendell Carter, for example, missed a couple of shots because of Gasol's presence and a couple of other Bulls. The Bulls as a whole just didn't look that good offensively tonight anyway, but I think Gasol deserves a lot of credit for being the man in the middle on a night where the Raptors hold the opponent to 30% shooting. Gasol's defense at the rim was pretty important for that. So I like the bounce back effort from Gasol. Again, this man needs to rest and he needs to sort of play himself sort of into a rhythm. He's obviously, we know he can be good. We just need Gasol to not be actively bad like he was in the first two games. Like even today, for example, he wasn't great. This is probably an average game from Gasol, but like, you know, it just has to be like this way more often than it is like game ones and two. So I'm happy for Gasol on a personal level. Some more points of emphasis from tonight. So Nick Nurse extended his rotation a little bit. Stanley Johnson got the first look, and it was off to a good start, at least. I mean, hey, he had the ball land in his hands on a very short shot clock, he switched the shot. So it was like, oh, cool, nice, and he got a rebound. You're like, okay, Stanley's going to do something today. Man, but then it was unfortunate. You know, I feel bad for him. He stepped out of bounds in a corner. He made this drive to the rim that was sort of kind of unnecessary, and he ends up committing an offensive foul, and he actually swung his elbows through Otto Porter Jr.'s nose, and Otto Porter was down for a while. He was bleeding like crazy. He had to go to the locker room, and I eventually came back, but, you know, that was unfortunate. And 5 minutes, 3 turnovers, it's not great. He clanked a 3 as well. it's just real unfortunate. It just, you know. So yeah, anyway, so Stanley got the first look at the rotation. He didn't really cut it. And so Nick Nurse decided, you know what? I'm going to go down to my next guy. Let's see what Matt Thomas has. Especially on a night, on a second half of a back-to-back. You got to extend the rotation a little bit. And yeah, Matt Thomas, I mean, he hit his first two threes of the game, as you would expect. The man is 99.8% shooter, obviously. Yeah, and that's kind of about it. I mean, like, you know, the rest of it, like, what you like about Thomas is that he knows who he is. He definitely plays unselfishly, not hesitant whatsoever to pass the ball, move the ball. That's important because, you know, come on, man. Aside from shooting the open shot, like, he should just really keep it moving. Defensively, I thought he actually competed all right. There's a couple, like, for example, Zach LaVine got him on an ISO, and, well, I mean, LaVine kind of went soft on him anyway by pulling up for three, but still, I think Thomas was at least able to keep LaVine in front of him a little bit, and LaVine is a pretty good offensive player. You know, Satoransky, guys like that, couldn't really do much with Thomas either. So, you know, if the defense can play, then, yeah, Thomas can play. It's just I'm not exactly sure the defense is fully there for him because, you know, I mean, realistically, let's be real. Matt Thomas is not some sort of shutdown defender by any means. But, you know, it was nice. He hit some threes. He stretched the floor. He moved the ball. But look, man, Nick Nurse is not looking for a lot. He's really, really not looking for a lot. He understands that, you know, he's working with a bench that is not as deep as it was last year. You're not bringing Fred. You're not bringing Serge. You're not bringing Norm. All these other guys off the bench. Honestly, it's like he has like five Jeremy Lins on the team now. Like, it's really unfortunate. He's no matter where you're going, there is a flawed player that he's turning to. But, you know, with Thomas, at least he has one elite skill, which is his shooting. Definitely is a knockdown shooter. And yeah, honestly, that might be enough to win it over the rest of the guys because the rest of them don't have elite NBA skills. Let's just be real about it. So we'll see if Thomas continues to stay in the rotation. Actually, you know, I'm not even sure Terrence Davis will stay in the rotation because he ends up making a couple mistakes as well. Definitely as a rookie, he's a little bit wild, a little bit unpredictable. You know, he'll miss assignments, things like this. He clanked a dunk today in transition. He got like a pretty good, I think he might have gotten the steal himself, but otherwise, you know, he chased down a loose ball, raced out in front of the pack, beat like three, four guys on the floor, and then just like went out for the dunk and clanked it, and it was a little unfortunate, but you know. It's all a learning process for the rookie, but yeah, I mean, I like his energy and generally speaking, I think, he makes more two-way contributions than a lot of these other guys. So, you know, I would personally like to see him in the rotation. I'm just seeing from a coach's perspective, if a guy's making that many errors, you might want to limit his minutes, but again, the other options aren't great. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson got back to the lineup today. He played 4 minutes, you know, split a pair of free throws. We'll see. I mean, I think he has a chance to do something, you know, in terms of as a contributor. I think the Raptors do need a backup four. And, yeah, I think Rondae could fill some minutes. I mean, like, just 10 minutes of energy off the bench with pure hustle, some rebounding, a little bit of playmaking, a tiny bit of scoring. Like, he, weirdly enough, is a capable scorer, even though he's not necessarily efficient. Definitely can't shoot. But, you know, I don't mind Rondae at all. You know, Malcolm Miller, I guess he can shoot threes, but he kind of just floats in and out of games. So, you know, that's something there. So, you know, for the most part, this was a routine win against the Bulls. I'm happy the Raptors responded strong. They kind of, not they needed to, but, you know, it was actually one of those stats that, you know, I floated on the timeline where it was the number of games for a franchise to be above 500, and the Raptors right now have the fourth longest streak in NBA history behind the New York Knicks, who had a streak of 565 games between 1991 and 1998 of staying above 500, and the Celtics had a streak of 545 games between 1958 and 1965. That's when Bob Cousy was, you know, dropping people with a simple behind-the-back dribble and things like this. The Lakers, between 1995 and 2002, had a streak of 525 games, staying above 500. And the Raptors, 461 games from 2014 to today. The exact date actually was January 8th, 2014. I think that might have been the win over the Pacers, where Terrence Ross actually outplayed Paul George. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, the Raptors, ever since that Rudy Gay trade, turned the whole season around, and the Raptors, won the Atlantic Division, made the playoffs, and just have never looked back ever since. The Raptors have consistently stayed above 500. Now, part of this is just like, not only have the Raptors been a good team, but they've always gotten off to good starts. Basically, as far as I remember, obviously, the Rudy Gay season was different because, you know, they had Rudy and DeMar, and they were shooting like 85 shots between the two of them and losing to the Rockets. Man, that Rockets game and that they lost in overtime was one of the lows I had as a Raptors fan. That was hard to watch. I honestly think those two shot like 85 shots between them. And I think Rudy Gay actually banned stat sheets after the game. It was like, don't look at me taking 37 shots and making 11 of them. Just don't look at it. Just use your memory to remember all my bricks. But like, yeah, ever since they traded Rudy Gay, they have been amazing. And they've gotten off the great starts. One-on-one, it was dicey. But, you know, the Raptors came through and got the win today. It's one of those stupid streaks. It's like when the Raptors had the longest streak of, like, consecutive games with a made three-pointer. Yeah, I mean, you know, shout out Dark Martin for keeping that shit alive. But, like, these little streaks are fun to track and stuff like that. So, the Raptors are now 462 games in that streak. And just try to keep it moving. Try to keep it going. So, in terms of your three stars tonight, first star, I'm giving that to OG Anunoby, 17.6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 4 blocks, plus 25 in 26 minutes, 7-11 shooting. Man, he was amazing. He was really good. Yeah, I know it's just the Bulls, whatever, but man, OG has been consistently solid in all three games so far, and I'm really happy for him. Second star, I'm giving that to Pascal Siakam, 19 points, 7-15 shooting, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, plus 22 in 28 minutes, battled back from early foul trouble, contributed all across the board, and broke the game open in the third quarter, and that was really the stretch where the Raptors were able to pull away. And then the third star, you can go a couple places. You can go with Fred, who had 16 points. He really had a slow start, Fred did, but started making some crazy deep threes, was pretty solid on both ends of the floor. Kyle Lowry, pretty solid on both ends of the floor, 11.7 rebounds, 8 assists. But I'm going to give it to Serge Ibaka with his 18 points and 7 rebounds off the bench on 8 of 12 shooting, including a three-pointer in 21 minutes. And 3 blocks. I mean, look, man, obviously Serge is good enough to dominate the Bulls. But, like, man, Serge has been so sharp and so ready to go. Just even dating back to, like, training camp and preseason. And I just appreciate it, man. I mean, like, literally the only reliable bench guy the Raptors have right now is Serge Ibaka. At least with Serge, you understand that he's going to come in, he's going to do his thing, he's going to impact the game. And honestly, right now, he's playing better than Gasol. There's a case for Serge to start, but honestly, with the way the scoring is sort of balanced, you might actually need Serge scoring off the bench way more than you need it with the starting lineup. But regardless, Serge has been great, and he deserves a third star tonight. Made a couple of great blocks tonight, too, really in front of the Raptors bench. And, you know, honestly, ever since Chicago traded Jimmy Butler, you know, that TNT Bulls curse has sort of been reversed when they, you know, sun the Raptors so many times. The Raptors, ever since, they have just dismantled the Bulls in the last couple of games. Like, every time you see the Bulls on the schedule, that is a guaranteed win. And they've had a lot of great moments. And today, a lot of great moments as well. Like, Kyle Lowry, at one point, was getting into it with Chris Dunn. And Chris Dunn fired up a deep three, like, 28 feet. And Chris Dunn cannot shoot. And while the ball was in the air, Kyle Lowry just screamed, you know, fuck no. And yeah, it was an air ball. And Zach LaVine was 0-5 from the field today. So it was fun to see that. It was fun to see Serge block whoever it was, Luke Kornet or whatever, at the basket and turn to the bench and the bench hype him up. OG making all these dunks, you know, OG splashing these threes. It was a good night all around. Feel good night. The Raptors got the win. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, I don't even think there is one. I really don't. The Bulls were led in scoring by Wendell Carter with 12. 12 points was her leading score. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it to Wendell Carter Jr., I guess. He has a head that looks like he's Dwayne Casey's son a little bit in the face, maybe. But, yeah, he had 12 points, 11 rebounds, you know, in 23 minutes. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm grasping for straws. Like, all their guys are pretty shit today. Like, Lauri Markkanen didn't do anything. Satoransky, he's been a disappointment on my fantasy team. I might drop him soon. He's not playing well. Zach, breakout year for him, supposedly, but, I mean, 11 points tonight, not good. Luke Kornet, 2 of 8. Thaddeus Young got blocked by OG so hard. Man, Coby White, holy. When he came to Toronto in preseason, he was killing it. And today, I mean, he got blocked like at least four times. He looks hilarious. He, you know, I like the way he plays, but this is not the night for the rookie. Chris Dunn, 0-5. I mean, like, geez. Shaquille Harrison played 12 minutes. I didn't even notice he was out there. So, Wendell Carter, baby. You get the award. And, yeah, that does it for the podcast. So, thanks for everyone for listening. I'll be back after the next game.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.